Praise the Lord. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for the people who came out to sit at your table tonight. Father, I know that you want to do something special with this group of people. And I know, Father God, that you're not going to stop the works that you've begun. So, Father God, I just thank you that the hearts are wide open tonight. The spirit man is just excited with what's going to they're going to receive. And I just cover everything with the blood of Jesus, Father. Minister to your people. Bring them through the trials and tribulations. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, born for battle is what God didn't prophesy this. He just told me to give it. All right. Revelation 12:12 says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, you know, in the heavens. Then woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. So God is saying, heavens, rejoice because the devil's no longer there. But then he's saying, earth, you're in trouble. Amen. Because now he's down there with you. Now, a line has been drawn in the sand, God said. An epic spiritual battle is looming larger by the day. Those who know they have been born to battle have already been summoned to fight the good fight. And this is where we fall into troubles. We don't know when we're born to battle. God is working right now. God is working in Acts 13:22, which Saul was king for 40 years. Now, God does everything in 40 years. So Saul was king for 40 years. Verse 22 says, after God took Saul away, God made David their king. This is what God said about David. David, the son of Jesse, is a kind of person who does what pleases me. He will do everything I want him to do. If you really want to be in God's favor, then you're going to have to be just like David. Do everything God tells you to do. Everything. Armed with the grace of God, a violent and uncompromising new leadership is emerging. God has been telling me that this younger generation that he's bringing forth are going to be a group of people who are not going to be afraid of the devil. That they're going to fight tooth and nail, and they're going to come forth and they're going to be victorious. He's an army and family devoted to the Lord and truth. These young people have had enough of the street life, enough of the devil, and so it's going to be an army and family devoted to the Lord and truth. And their cry is Psalm 18:31. There is no God except the Lord. There is no rock except our God. Be no mixture in these people. They're going to know that they know that they know who God is. This army is very much aware that the kingdom of God is near. With boldness and humility, they are standing firm and moving in step with the Spirit. This is what you're going to see God bring into the house of God. And you have to have yourself ready and lined up so that you can minister to these people. Now, wisdom guards this army's focus, for they are mindful of their weaknesses, and they are agreeing in 2 Corinthians 4:7-8. We have this treasure from God, but we are only like clay jars that hold the treasure. This is to show that the amazing power we have is from God and not from us. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We often don't know what to do, but we don't give up. And this is where God's at. This is why he told us this morning, momentum. We are not to give up no matter what. And this is what God told me. You know how to fight, so I'm letting you go through this. But when, even though you know how to fight, don't give up. All right? All right, this army is called Power Lines. An irrepressible force for advancing the kingdom of light is in the making. You know, this army that God's bringing in. There are strategic and vital connections among the troops that are being put in place. These power lines are the result of sincere and heartfelt relational connections. Jesus is doing it. He's putting people together that he knows will work together. And he has given them their assignments, and they are going to complete what God would have them to do. All right, so this army knows the difference between the yoke the world places on us to make things happen and how Jesus does it. The world's already been yoked with the devil, so they know what that's all about. And Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from the heavy burden you have been forced to carry. I will give you rest. Accept my teaching. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Yes, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. If your burden's too heavy, then God did not give that to you, and you need to get rid of it." All right? No soldier of the Lord Jesus is called to be isolated or out on his own or her own. Excuse me. Each one of us are a vital part of this army. We are moving forward to fulfill Leviticus 26:7. You will chase your enemies and defeat them. You will kill them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100 men, and 100 of you will chase 10,000 men. You will defeat your enemies and kill them with your sword. Your sword is what is the word, right? The blessing of strong opposition. All right, that's the title, The Blessing of Strong Opposition. Opposition sharpens and defines us. Amen. Come on. Opposition sharpens and defines us. We need to understand that a powerful and unrelenting enemy does us much good. You know, how many of you sometimes you go through things like, God, and he said, this is for your good. You say, really now? Amen. Facing such opposition keeps us on our knees, on our toes, and on the edge of our seats. Luke 12:35 in the Living Bible puts it this way, be prepared, all dressed and ready for service. What's God says, be instant, in season and out of season. So you better be ready for that devil and to fight him at every given second of every given day. Now, developing the character of Jesus through such tough spiritual warfare is integral to this calling of being born for battle. Remember what Paul wrote, Ephesians 6:10. Paul wrote, to end my letter, I tell you, be strong in the Lord and in his great power. Wear the full armor of God, wear God's armor so that you can fight against the devil's clever tricks. Our fight is not against people on earth. We are fighting against the rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly places. And when you're looking at that person that the devil's working through, you sure can't believe that, can you? You want to poke him in the nose, right? But we can't do that. That is what Paul says. That is why you need to get God's full armor. Then on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. And when you have finished the whole fight, you will still be standing. Remember, God told me years ago I was going to go into warfare with the devil, and he's going to turn me every which way but loose. But when it was all done, I'd be standing on my feet facing him. So this is what Paul said. You will still be standing. So stand strong with a belt of truth tied around your waist, and on your chest wear the protection of right living. On your feet wear the good news of peace to help you stand strong. And also use a shield of faith with which you can stop all the burning arrows that come from the evil one. Accept God's salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit. That sword is a teaching of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers and ask for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all of God's people. Pray for all of God's people. Not the enemy's people, but God's people. But even we need to pray for our enemies too. Isn't that what the Word of God says? We need to pray for our enemies also. 2 Corinthians 10:3. We live in this world, but we don't fight our battles in the same way the world does. I wish that was true. The weapons we use are not human ones. Our weapons have power from God and can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments. And we tear down every proud idea that raises itself against the knowledge of God. We also capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. We need to learn, if you haven't already learned, we need to learn to quit fighting people. We need to learn that the enemy uses even our best friends sometimes to come against us. He'll use any means that he has available to try to destroy one of God's children. Now, Joseph's ability to govern with wisdom in Egypt was learned this way. In the face of fierce opposition, so very close to home, the true character of his heart was geared to be strong. And you're really, God only calls the strong of heart into his army. In summary of the tremendous conflict he endured, he declared this in Genesis 50, verse 19. Then Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am not God. I have no right to punish you. It is true that you plan to do something bad to me, but really God was planning good things. God's plan was to use me to save the lives of many people, and that is what happened." You know, here's Joseph, and God had him thrown into a pit. Then he had sold into slavery, put him in prison, and then he took him out of prison. Then the king's wife said he tried to rape her or whatever he said, and he put back in prison. And then he was finally pulled out of prison. Look what God used him to do. He used him to save a nation, to feed them. So you see how Joseph became a great person through much trial and tribulation. Was there times that he was upset over that? Yes, there was. He got discouraged in prison. And he even told the people, "Please don't forget what I did for you when you leave." But they forgot about him. But he kept on going. He didn't come against God. He just kept on going. And sometimes in the body of Christ, what happens is you don't keep on going. And that's when God said, this morning you got into a rut. And now he was getting you out of that rut. He doesn't want you back in that rut again. And see, as leaders, as people out there ministering to other people, you need to take them this message. You just need to tell them who they're not fighting and who they are fighting. And you yourself need to understand who you are fighting and who you're not fighting. I know very well that when somebody comes against me, it is not them at all. I know it's the enemy. And he's hoping that I don't realize that and that I get into their mess with them and get messed up. And I want you to understand that too. When somebody comes against you, it's never them. There was something in them that allowed the enemy to use them. But no weapon formed against you can prosper. All right, you might get a black eye, but it can't kill you. You see what I'm saying? Paul also sought to encourage his Corinthian friends, openly sharing the difficulties confronted on the battlefield of our calling. Paul also sought to encourage his Corinthian friends, openly sharing the difficulties confronted on the battlefield of our calling. See, it's important that you let people know that you go through battles. You know, I don't know about you. When I was first born again, I thought a Christian never went through a battle. You know, I thought everything was just going to be wonderful. And nobody ever told me we were going to go through a battle. The Holy Spirit did. And so when you're witnessing to people and when you're wanting them to receive Christ, you need to tell them, too, that the enemy's standing there, too, and that the enemy is vying for their life. And it's up to them, you know, which way they go, whether they keep serving to Satan or they'll go ahead and serve God. But they have to know that whenever they start. See, you have to be honest with them. You have to let them know that whenever you start serving God, then it's going to make the enemy mad. And he's going to come after you, and you have to be ready to fight. I don't know where I'm at here. Now, I said Paul sought to encourage his Corinthian friends, openly sharing the difficulties confronted on the battlefield of our calling, especially when the heat is on. 2 Corinthians 1:8, "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. We had great burdens there, which were greater than our own strength. We even gave up hope for life. In fact, it seems like God has been telling us we are going to die. But this is so that we will not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises people from the death. He saved us from these great dangers of death, and he will continue to save us. We feel sure he will always save us. And you can help us with your prayers. Then many people will give thanks for us that God blessed us because of their many prayers." So he's saying, don't tell everybody what you're going through. Let them know. That's your testimony. Let them know what you're going through and let them know how God brought you through it and where you're at today. Faithfulness through thick and thin is a powerful and telling sign of the love of Jesus that has been worked deeply in the hearts of the children of God. Faithfulness through thick and thin. You know, when people go out on the street, if you give a testimony of what you had to go through, then you have to also tell them how faithful God has been to you and how you stuck with God and he saw you through the whole thing. You know, let them know what God has done for you. We're talking about the army, all right? So these overcomers triumph through him against the pride-filled nations, notions of another God. All right, if you're really sold out totally and completely to God, then you are an overcomer. And through Christ, you overcome anything that the world has to offer you. The pride of life, whatever it is, you have what you need to overcome anything the world has to offer you. Anything the enemy throws at you. You do not have to stay bound. You don't, because God has given you a way of escape. The reason why you stay bound the majority of times is because you stay in your sin, right? And when you stay in your sin, then you know, it's not God's fault that you stay bound. But if you go through deliverances and you have to get out of your sin, how many of you in here can say that happened to me? I had to go through deliverances, but if I went back into sin, then I got bound again. I had to stay out of sin in order to stay free from the enemy. Because you opened the door for him to come and attack you every time you go into sin. These overcomers triumph through him against the pride-filled notions of another God, which is Satan. Like Habakkuk, they have received the revelation. And Habakkuk 2:2 says, "The Lord answered me. Write down what I show you. Write it clearly on a sign so that the message will be easy to read." How many times does God say, write down what I'm telling you? This message is about a special time in the future. This message is about the end, and it will come true. Just be patient and wait for it. That time will come. It will not be late. This message cannot help those who refuse to listen to it, but those who are good will live because they believe it. Whatever God's told you and told you to write down, that is going to come to pass. Amen. When I don't care where you're at, and God used you to prophesy to somebody, tell them before you say, God's going to speak to you, and God is not a man that he should lie, and whatever he says to you is really going to come to pass. And then so tell them that so they can listen to what God's saying to them, and that they understand that this is God speaking, and it is going, no matter what they're going through, this is going to come to pass. Retreating is not an option. Retreating as a result of focusing on our inadequacies or failures is not an option. Turning to the Lord is always and the only right thing to do. Faith is the absolute focus in the eyes of Abraham's offspring. Retreating as a result of focusing on our inadequacies or failures is not an option. What did Moses do when God called him? I can't speak. God said, okay, I'll give you somebody to speak for you. See, he was focusing on his inadequacies, but God already knew he stuttered when he spoke. All right, so you can't focus on that and then blame God when things go wrong in your life. God already knows what your faults are. He already knows what your shortcomings are when he called you into his kingdom. He already knows that. So please don't use that as an excuse not to do what God's calling you forth to do. Romans 4:18 says, there was no hope that Abraham would have children, but Abraham believed God and continued to hope. And that is why he became the father of many nations. As God told him, you will have many descendants. Abraham was almost 100 years old. So he was past the age of having children also. So God said, you're going to have all these descendants, many descendants. And he was already past the bearing age. But he trusted God. See, no matter what God says to you, you have to trust God. You know, there for a season when God was telling me that to tell the people that no matter how old they were, that he was going to restore their youth and he was going to use them. You know, I was surprised that a few people said they just didn't quite believe that. You know, they held on to it for a little bit, but then they thought, there's no way God can use me. I'm too old. I've got this sickness. This is wrong with me. That's wrong with me. And they let go and they died. But see, it doesn't matter what your body's saying to you. What is God saying to you? And when you're out there ministering, you have to tell the people that too. It doesn't matter what your body's saying. It doesn't matter what your finances are saying. What is God telling you? All right, verse 20 says, he never doubted that God would do what he promised. He never stopped believing. In fact, he grew stronger in his faith and just praised God. Abraham felt sure that God was able to do what he promised. And this is where we need to get to today, saints. We need to understand that if God said it, he can do it. We don't dictate how he does either. If he says it, he can do it. In this great spiritual conflict, God's power is seen in the grace we are given to rise above the darkness and troubles of the hour. It's the grace of God that has you where you're at today. This includes both inward and outward turmoil and troubles, just like those that Job faced in Hebrews 10:24. We should think about each other to see how we can encourage each other to show love and do good works. That's what we should be doing. We must not quit meeting together, as some are doing. No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. With everything that's coming down the road, we need to know who our friends are. We need to be encouraging one another. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, the devil can always find an inroad some way, somehow. You have to have friends around you that you can say, look, you know, I'm not in a good place today. And then they will pray for you and they will encourage you, and that'll give you something to live for. All right? Never get out there on a limb all by yourself. Isaiah 26:3 says, God, you give true peace to people who depend on you, to those who trust in you. So trust the Lord always, because in the Lord, y'all, you have a place of safety. How? Forever. God gives you true peace. Jesus is most evident in the face of great difficulty and adversity. How many of you can say, yes, he really is? Jesus is most evident. In other words, you know that you know that you know that Jesus is there for you. We need to understand that the landscape of the church is completely changing. A very different outlook from what we have known is emerging. Many are resisting the reshaping of the church. And just like Sister Elaine said, you know, we can't stay in that box. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move, and we have to move with the Holy Spirit. All right, just like I'm the pastor now, if I see you doing something, I will know whether or not it's the Spirit of God. I'll just know whether or not it is, if I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, then I'll tell you to sit down and shut up, you know. But we're going to have to go out of the box sometimes and just do what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Amen. All right, let's just also say this. You know, if I would see you doing something I know really isn't what the Holy Spirit wants to do, instead of me getting all upset, I could pray and say, God, let this turn around for your good. You can intervene here, and you can make this for your good. Now, I'm not saying that you do that, but I'm saying that's what I should do instead of getting all upset and throwing a fit in front of everybody or even home. Because at least you're trying. You're not sitting there dying. At least you're trying to do the things that you think that God is telling you to do. And I'm hearing God say right now that I can really count on all you guys in here, that you won't go out, you know, in here. You won't do something that would give him a shame face, that I can trust each and every one of you. And that's nice to know, you know, that you guys are all accountable. I have been in churches where I've seen things going I knew was not of God, but I haven't seen that here, and God's telling me it won't happen. All right, the Living Bible in Acts 5:34 says, but one of their members, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, an expert on religious law and very popular with the people, stood up and requested that the apostles be sent outside the council chamber while he talked. Then he addressed his colleagues as follows, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and his followers were harmlessly dispersed. See, the followers weren't killed, they were dispersed, but the leader was killed. After him, at the time of the taxation, there was Judas of Galilee. He drew away some people as disciples, but he also died and his followers scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. If what they teach and do is merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is God, you will not be able to stop them, lest you find yourselves fighting even against God. So what the scripture is telling us here, that if we see other ministries that are not of God, leave them alone, because God is going to take care of them. Well, he's been saying he's going to uncover their skirts. I think that's how I put it. Lift their skirts or something. So we leave other ministries alone. We just do what God's telling us to do. That, and if you're in a ministry like that, I suggest you see God's face. Okay? And then do whatever God's telling you to do. All right, the maturity of a soldier's character. Those who were born for battle and have an understanding of the times must focus their attention primarily on the Lord himself, not their opposition inwardly or outwardly. You need to focus on God himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, accept your share of the troubles we have. A soldier wants to please his commanding officer, so he does not spend any time on activities that are not a part of his duty. One time God said he was a commander-in-chief, and so what we have to do is we have to please God and not man. Rick Joyner has said, our first goal must be to confront and overcome our personal demons and our personal fears. Our personal demons and our personal fears. That's the first thing we have to do. Why? So that we can grow in the authority to take on bigger demons and set other people free. Okay? If you're sitting around and you have demons and you're denying you have them, then you're never going to be any good. You're not a soldier of God's army. You know, even though you're born for battle, you somewhere along the line lost that right. We can win this war if we grow in faith. True faith is a result of a living relationship with the God who loves us, has called us, and will empower us to do all that he created us to do. Let's read that again. We can win this war if we grow in faith. True faith is a result of a living relationship with the God who loves us, has called us, and will empower us to do all that he created us to do. The real changes at hand are related to the condition and health of the human heart. Our heart plays a big role in what we do for God. Maturity is deeply connected to the wisdom in Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And, you know, and God, I was just sitting there working the other day on something else, and God just spoke. He said, bitterness is a terrible pit to fall into. So I don't know why he said that, but, you know, if you're in bitterness and your heart's not right, right? So what does it say about your heart? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. You can't grow bitter over, you can't become bitter over something that somebody has done to you. You just can't do that. It'll destroy your ministry. Give them to God, give the situation to God, and then you move on and you do what you know that God's calling you to do. All right, finishing well. These are both exciting and sobering days. To have been born for battle at such a time as this is ranked among the highest of honors, and we are so blessed. Ephesians 3:10 says, his purpose was that all the rulers and powers in the heavenly places will now know the many different ways he shows his wisdom. They will know this because of the church. Are we a good example to the world, church? Think about that. This agrees with the plan God had since the beginning of time. He did what he planned, and he did it through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, we come before God with freedom and without fear. We can do this because of our faith in Christ. So I ask you not to be discouraged because of what is happening to me. My sufferings are for your benefit, for your honor and glory. See what Paul says? What I'm going through is for your benefit. And he didn't mind doing that. Why? Because he knew that he was born for battle. All right, those born for battle who fight the good fight and finish well will see the glory of God revealed, the holiness of his name restored, and the manifold wisdom of his ways exalted. We will have his fire and passion dwelling in our hearts, flowing forth as words of life. Those born for battle who fight the good fight and finish well will see the glory of God revealed, the holiness of his name restored, and the manifold freedom, wisdom of his ways exalted. We will have his fire and passion dwelling in our hearts, flowing forth as words of life. And I put that in because that's things God has prophesied to us. God is going to manifest himself in many powerful, wonderful ways to those who were born for battle and know they were born for battle. And Isaiah 6:8 said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." Now, a lot of you were like me and you said that to God, but you did not understand that you were headed in a battle. I don't think you did. I'll just say I didn't. I did not know I was going to be in there fighting the devil tooth and nail because nobody ever taught me that. So if you said that, all your friends come against you, everybody's saying all manner of evil about you and lying about you. Well, when that happened to me, and I said, "God, what's this all about?" And he said, "I heard you when you said, here, my Lord, send me," and this goes along with it. So are you born for battle? If you didn't understand why you were giving your heart to Jesus when you was born again, it was so you could go forth and battle the kingdom of darkness to bring people out of darkness into the light. We were always born to be soldiers in the army of God. We were not born again to be pampered. We just were not. We were born to get out there and to fight the enemy and to win each and every battle. And we were not born again so that we could go out and fight with our neighbors or the people we sat with in church. We were born again so we could go out there and defeat the enemy that's wanting us to fight our family, our neighbors, or those sitting in the church. So tonight, God said he's wanting to give you a little bit of wisdom, and he wants you to search your heart, and he wants you to ask yourself, why do I get discouraged when bad things happen to me? And then he's saying the reason is because you didn't understand the calling that's upon your life. Therefore, you became discouraged, opened the door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in your life. All right? Ijeoma, you know, she's here, and she's from another country, and she's working for God, but the enemy's been fighting her on every front. Why is he doing that? Because she is really doing a good works for the Father, even though she might not see it now. One day before she dies, I'm hearing God say, before you die, you're going to see the good works you're doing. But the enemy wants us to believe that we aren't accomplishing anything. And, you know, God told me a couple of weeks ago that the shofars were going to play an integral part in this church, in this end time thing that God is doing. And that's why he brought the shofars in. And then Chris and Barbara went to the Indian thing and something about they gave the shofar to the Indians. They didn't know how to use it. But then anyhow, they told them it was a very important tool for them to use. See, everything that God has ever started in here was for a purpose for his kingdom. It just wasn't Elaine come in, she could blow a shofar. So get up and blow the shofar. And, you know, and Adam blows a shofar. But no, that's not it. God ordained these things to be here. God is reshuffling some things in the church. He's not doing away with them. He's reshuffling them. Why? Because there's certain things he has to do to get these things, these projects, in line with what he really wants done. It's not what we want done, you know, because I really want a whole lot of stuff, but God said, no, I don't want that for you right now. I need to get some other things cleared up, and then I'll give you the total desire of your heart in the church. So whatever God is doing in you, understand, you are a soldier. You were born for battle. And the enemy's going to come. How are you going to? You can't go into battle if the enemy doesn't fight you, right? And, you know, we know in Job where God, you know, God let Job go before him, and God, and Job asked for you by name. You give me Elaine and I'll show you she won't serve you. Let me put her through the ropes and just see what she'll do. And God said, you can do anything but kill her. And so then the enemy starts, you know, and he just does everything but kill you. But God will also tell Elaine, well, the enemy came and asked for you today, and I let him have you. But I know your strengths, and I know you'll be able to endure what he's going to take you through. And where that scripture where God said to Peter, Satan asked to sift you as wheat, and you know, and God let him sift Satan. And I was going through something one time, and I said, God, I don't understand this. And then he said to me, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, and this is what he's doing. But I know how strong you are, and I know that you can go through. And sometimes I say, God, you know things I don't know because I don't think I'm that strong. Do you ever think that? Sometimes, you know, you think, I just can't do this, Lord. And he told me, yeah, you can, you just don't want to. All right, because it's a battle. And really, if you're like me, you just don't like to get into battles. You don't like to get in confrontations. You just want to sit back and just enjoy God and enjoy life. But I found out that isn't the way. Once you say, God, here I am, use me, that isn't how it goes. Because the enemy wants you and wants you bad. And remember, I told you one time, God said to me, he said, I was going through something else, and God said, daughter, the enemy wants you and I want you. And we are in a tug of war, but it's up to you which one of us wins this tug of war. He says, totally up to you. So God was pulling one way, Satan was pulling another way, but I had to make the decision, which way was I really going to end up? So how many of you might be going through a tug of war right now, you know? And you know, Satan's wanting you and God wants you. But God also knows that you're strong. He also knows if you'll relent or will not. And so I want to encourage you this morning, because doesn't it say in your book of life that everything that you're ever going to do from beginning to end is written in that book, right? So God lets Satan do what he wants to with you because he knows you're going to make it through. You were born for battle. Now we have to fight. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to encourage those who don't know how to fight, who have never been taught to fight. And you know, if you've been in a battle and you just thought you were never going to make it out of it, but you did, but by the skin of your teeth, that's all right. God knew your skin of your teeth was strong, and he knew that you was going to make it through. So just thank God, just rejoice. And that song, the reason why we're singing that hallelujah song is because God really wants to get that thing embedded in your spirit. Are you lying when you sing that song? All right, then when any storm comes, you'll just pray. I mean, you'll just praise him. You'll just start singing. You start with dancing and rejoicing. You'll say, oh God, why do I have to go through this? You won't do that. You'll just thank him. He's given you strength, and he's given you wisdom, and he's given you all the tools you need to be a good soldier. Well, Father God, I thank you tonight, and I praise you. This has been a day, Father God, when you've really brought us up higher than you ever have. And tonight, Father God, when you're telling us that we were born for battle, and even I didn't know that when I was first born again, but Father God, tonight we know. And we know that we know, Father God, that the enemy cannot win because we have more power and authority than he does. So I'm asking right now, Father God, to reach your hand down through the portals of heaven right now. I want each one of you to stay where you're at, but lift your hands right now. Because what I'm seeing is lightning bolts come down from heaven, and those lightning bolts are touching each and every one of you that have your hands up. And God is bestowing upon you all power and all authority for war. For war, to go through the battles you're going to have to go through. And these bolts that are coming down, they're just really coming down real hard and real fast. And God said those bolts are strengthening you so that no matter what comes your way, you'll come out victorious. We thank you for it, Father. We just thank you for it, Father.